Good afternoon, evening, good morning, whatever time of day it is where you are. This is Tom Harris, and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 9. Oh gosh, episode 9 already? Jeez, it seems like I haven't been doing the show very long. Just a little bit less than a month now. And of course, when I put up the first three episodes of the show all at once, and so I actually think I've been recording the show for a little bit over 5 weeks now. It's roughly two episodes a week, which are every 4 days or so. Well, no, that's not too bad. I'm just real pleased to say that more and more people are listening, and I'm seeing the hits. I'm not feeling the love. Please, if you have any comments, have any questions, anything you'd like me to talk about, please contact me. The email address is tom@tomharrisusa.com. So a couple episodes ago, I talked about my boyfriend and I going to Anime Central. And at the time I said, suggest a new anime or manga to me. But I had forgotten about one, and I've been revisiting this anime recently. And so I'm going to recommend it to you. The anime in question is one that I had seen before, and I'd kind of slipped my mind when I was talking before. The name of the anime is The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. And I'm not going to explain what it's about, because I really think this is one of those anime that you have to watch in order to understand what it's about. I could describe it to you, but I don't think it would be I don't think I could put it in any way that would make it more appealing or less appealing. It's one of those that you really have to view for yourself. It is an interesting series, and it's not like anything else I've ever seen. And unlike most anime, this one is not based on a comic book. It's based on novels. So I really do think that it's worth your time to seek out The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. And check it out. I think you'll really appreciate it. So last weekend, excuse my voice, and I'm having a terrible time with it. Remember last time when I told you about the nasty basement and being forced to go down into this nasty basement and clean up and throw stuff away and just rearrange all these financial records and things that were down there. And I had to go back down there on Monday. This was today. I'm recording the show here on Wednesday. My voice is still not back to normal. It feels very kind of scratchy. So please forgive if my voice sounds more weird than normal, then you'll know why. It's breathing in all that mold and dust for a whole day. But at least we got it done. Hopefully I don't have to go back down into that nasty basement for another year or more. Can you hear all the noises coming from outside? Yeah, I'm hearing lawnmowers. It's a sure sign that spring is really, really here now. People are actually having to cut their lawns. It's been absolutely gorgeous. The weather has been great these last few days. It's been cool at night and cool in the morning when I get up and go to work. I get up at 6:30 in the morning. It's just really just gorgeous out then. And I wish I had more time in the morning. I don't like to get up too early because, you know, I hate getting up in the morning. But, people are cutting their lawns and gardening. The trees have leaves again. That's the first time in a while. It's been a cold spring. So the trees have been taking a while to get their leaves, but they have them now. So things are looking pretty nice out there right now. Where was I? I got off the subject again. Last weekend Pete and I went to go see the new Star Trek. And I have to give you some background because I went into that movie very, very skeptical. But I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was near perfect. And I say that as somebody who has been a Trekker since I was probably 10 years old. I really grew up with the series and was big into the original series back, especially when I was a teenager. And the movie series hadn't started yet, much less things like Next Generation. Those were still years away. And I've been a fan for a long time. And I thought that this new movie was going to be terrible. I was of the opinion that, you know, nobody is going to be able to replace the original actors. It wasn't going to be the same, and, you know, it was going to just be this sort of naff copy, and it wasn't going to be any good. But I was very, very pleasantly surprised. The actors I mostly don't have any trouble with at all. After having seen the film, Chris Pine, who plays Kirk, he doesn't try to do William Shatner. Thank goodness for that. He does his own thing. It works. He works as James Kirk. The other real standout in the cast, I think, is Carl Urban, who plays Dr. McCoy. I can't imagine any other actor playing that role other than him. Or DeForest Kelly, of course. And it just works so well. He obviously did his homework. He obviously studied. There are some characters that I don't care for. I don't care for the new Chekhov. I don't think he's strong enough as an actor in that part. And I understand he doesn't want to copy the bad fake Russian accent that, you know, the original actor had. But it really didn't work for me. The new actor as being Chekhov, but thankfully he didn't have a major part. And the other actor that I didn't care for was the actor who played Sarek. And I don't want to give too much away, because I'm not going to give away any story details, because I want people to go see this and I want people to enjoy it and be surprised by it. But they do have the character of Sarek. He is in there, but the new actor doesn't really have the nobility and the calm that Mark Leonard had. The gentleman who played Sarek in the original series and also in the movies and in Next Generation. He just sort of just has this weird deer in the headlights stare, and it just seems very un-Vulcan to me. But overall, I have to say, these are quibbles. The story makes sense. They lay out, you know, the circumstances behind the events of the film. It all makes sense. And it's a nice new beginning for the series. I would love to see this franchise continue. And I, to be honest, I don't want to see it as a weekly TV series. I think that would be too much. I would really like to see this as a, you know, a movie series and have a new film every 18 months or so. And just get it out there, you know, have a nice movie series with, you know, some fairly substantial stories. I don't want to see them going back over old territory. I don't want to see a new version of The Trouble with Tribbles or anything like that. I would like to see this be a new beginning and they chart a new course for the Enterprise and its crew. But overall, very, very satisfying. And I'm really looking forward to seeing future efforts of this. And I really hope that everyone goes to see this, because it's a great film. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Hey, let me know. So while we're on the topic of Star Trek, I've actually been talking to people recently about the various incarnations of the series. And I'm just curious, what are people's favorites? I grew up with the original series. So the original series will always have that special place with me. But I was also fairly enthusiastic about The Next Generation. Maybe because we had gone for so long without any Star Trek at all other than the occasional movie. And there was some excitement about the new series. But if you go back and look at Next Generation, especially the first couple of years of it, parts of it were just incredibly bad. And maybe we were just so desperate for new Trek material that we didn't care. But it's actually kind of painful for me to go back and watch most of the first season and a good chunk of the second. When they started getting into the later seasons, and I think probably around third or fourth season when they actually kind of started really nailing the characters and started getting some nice continuity going on. And I think the series got stronger and stronger all the way up until the very last season. And the last season, they kind of started to lose steam again, but they knew it was ending, so that was okay. But I think my favorite Trek series is Deep Space Nine. And I was kind of surprised, you know, talking with other people. And Chris Reardon from United Kingdom Talk is one of the people who I was talking to about this. But a lot of people don't like Deep Space Nine. And I kind of feel that it's been overlooked by a lot of fans. Maybe because it's one of those shows that you kind of have to see almost every episode. And I thought that it was just brilliant to have this the show set on a space station. You know, people come to them rather than them being out in the ship and going places. They do kind of get out there and go exploring occasionally as well. But I like the story arc. It starts with the very first episode and ends with the very last episode. And everything that you have for the entire series ties in with everything else. You know, there are storylines that are being resolved in the last couple of episodes that started in the very beginning of the series. I think that a lot of people don't like it, maybe because it's not one of those shows like Next Generation or even the original Star Trek, where you can just watch one episode every once in a while and have a pretty good idea of what's going on. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe people don't want to actually commit to having the following the story. Maybe that's why. As I probably mentioned before, I don't actually own a television. So I tend to watch series on DVD, and I'll watch, you know, a whole DVD at a time, not in one sitting usually, but I'll actually have some sense of the continuity because I've actually seen several of these episodes in a row. And I follow several series in that fashion, and it's not the same as watching it in episodic, you know, every week sort of thing. It's more like I watch four episodes every month or so. So maybe that's why. You know, you get a better sense of the continuing storyline if you are watching it kind of in little chunks rather than one episode at a time. So far, I haven't really gotten hooked by Voyager, and I am still watching the first season of that. I'm probably about halfway through the first season of Voyager, but to me, the characters just don't pop. The characters are just kind of blah. And it's been hard to get enthusiastic about it. I haven't seen more than an episode or two of Enterprise either. And I know there's a lot of people out there that didn't like Enterprise, and in fact it got canceled after the fourth season. But it's just kind of interesting. Maybe people were Star Trek'd out. Because you did have kind of a continuous run of you had, you know, Next Generation coming out in 85 or 86. I forget what year that was. Was it 86? Eh, I don't know. And then you had a pretty much continuous run of Star Trek up until the time Enterprise ended. I don't remember what year that was. Was it 2005, 2004? I don't know. I really wasn't paying attention. So maybe it's time for the franchise to take a rest from the, but I think the new movie will help that. So what is your favorite incarnation of Star Trek? I'd like to hear. Like I said, the email is tom@tomharrisusa.com. I hopefully soon have a, more content at the website, and you can go visit the website if you like. It's www.tomharrisusa.com. There's nothing there at the moment. I have a coming soon page, and eventually I will have a web page there. But I just haven't had the time to do it myself or any friendly people out there offering to do it for me. If anybody out there is a web designer and you want to do a site for the show, please contact me. I just want to do a couple shout-outs here before I move along to something else. I've had some emails to the show that aren't of a nature that I feel comfortable reading them on the air. And part of it is because there are people who I know in real life who've happened to hear the show and have kind of sent me mail, kind of filling me in on what they're up to, which I greatly appreciate. And if this podcast can bring people from my past back to haunt me or or to comment on the show, give me feedback, hey, I'm all for that. So I just wanted to shout out to Liz in Fort Myers. Hi, Liz. It's always wonderful to hear from you. It's been a very long time, hasn't it? I think the last time I talked to you was about 2003. The last time I came down to Fort Myers. I probably have mentioned this before, but I used to live down in Fort Myers, Florida. And I do still have a few friends down there who kind of cling to that horrible climate down there. Oh, it's just awful. I just don't think I could ever live there again. But Liz was commenting on my previous episode where I'm talking about the Civil War and the Republican Party, and saying that another mutual friend of ours and she tend to have these little friendly debates. You know, I'm really glad to hear that they're having little friendly debates. I think that debate is always a good thing. It doesn't always serve a useful purpose, but it can be fun to kind of bicker back and forth, and as long as it's friendly and not mean-spirited and nobody is judging each other, and I am all about dialogue. And anything that I talk about on the show, and I'm bound to get some comments now and then about my views on religion especially, because being an atheist, I think it's all bullshit. But I do like hearing the back and forth. And I recently had a discussion with a college classmate who we've kind of gone separate ways, of course, after graduation. He went off to New York City and I came here to Chicago. And we're having a kind of, cordial religious discussion. And then when it became more public and more people got involved in it, he began to get very offended by some of the ideas that were being presented and decided not to continue. And that's a real shame because I actually was enjoying it. But I know that some of the positions I take are bound to create some controversy. But I do appreciate the dialogue, and I do want to hear from people. Even if you think that I'm full of crap, I do want to hear from you. So, please feel free to email me. And I've said the email address a couple times before in the episode. I do enjoy the religious discussions. Maybe it's because I spent several years immersed in fundamental Christianity. I was a fundamentalist Christian from the time I was a teenager up until my early 20s, was quite involved in the church and got very zealous, perhaps. There was a time when I really thought that I was going to become a missionary. And I think probably a lot of people in my family thought that too. Now, I've since kind of wised up. I didn't want to be a missionary for the quote-unquote right reasons. I wanted to become a missionary because I wanted to travel. Well, I can travel on my own. I don't need to be a missionary in order to do that. And in the process, I don't have to help destroy other cultures. But it is always, there are lots of traps that you can fall into when you're having these religious discussions. And part of it is how many religious people get very, very offended by trivial opinion. And I think one good example is a friend who got very, very offended when stated very plainly that I consider the Bible a work of fiction and Jesus a fictional character. And he just went overboard being offended with that. And I don't think that's a very unusual position for an atheist to take. I mean, do you? I mean, it doesn't seem to me. I think the reaction was far out of proportion to the actual question. So some Christians especially seem to be very, very touchy. And a lot of people who are atheists just simply won't have these discussions. Yeah, I think a lot of atheists don't think it's worth their time. But also, they don't want to have this overreaction. that some Christians, or you know, religious people in general, but evangelical Christians in particular. And I don't mean here to pick on Christians. It's just that having been a Christian, I kind of understand what they're thinking, what the thought process is. And actually, you know, I've kind of compared the ex-Christian aspect of my life to being an ex-smoker. Now, I've never been a smoker, and a nasty habit. Don't ever start. And those of you who do smoke, please quit. It's terrible for you. But I do compare being an ex-Christian to being an ex-smoker in that when you have quit smoking and you've seen what an improvement it brings to your life, both in the matter of being able to breathe and having more money because you're not spending it all on cigarettes and so forth. And you see people who are close to you, and not even, you know, necessarily very close to you, but people of your acquaintance. And you see them smoking heavily. You kind of feel obliged to say something about, say, you know, to try to convince them to quit. And it's the same way with me when I see people in my life who are evangelical Christians and are kind of living, not really thinking for themselves and repeating kind of what they're told to believe by their church leaders. Not every Christian fits into that category, by the way, and I'm not trying to pick on anyone in particular, but there is definitely, as I've described before, the echo chamber of faith. And some churches, and certainly the church that I was part of back when I was a teenager, they definitely had a lot of emphasis on peer pressure and control. They wanted to control you and wanted to control the sorts of people that you hung out with. They told me that I shouldn't hang out with my girlfriend at the time, who I later married. They didn't want me to hang out with my best friend. Now, it's interesting, I'm still best friends with my best friend. I never stopped being friends with him just because my church wanted me to. And guess what? The people who I thought were my friends in the church, they all, as soon as they found out I wasn't a Christian anymore, they've all vanished. They don't want anything to do with me. Oh, God, you know, what is your friendship based on then? You know, if it's a matter of control, yeah. You know what? I may have mentioned this in a previous episode, but I wrote an article on my religious journey, and I'm just going to read it out here. And let's open this up for discussion, and I hope to hear some feedback on this. And I just have to find this. Hang on just a moment. It's not very long, and it's going to cover over some of the territory that I've been talking about on this show. Here it is. Okay, briefly some background. As most of you know, I am an atheist, but that hasn't always been the case. I was raised in a mostly non-practicing, quote-unquote, Christian household until I was about 14 years old, when I underwent a religious conversion. I really enjoyed my time in the church. It was valuable to me in many ways. The fellowship was nice. Feelings of belonging, of making a difference, are always good. So I embraced my new religion with relish. I was extremely zealous and active in the life of my church. Church was Sunday 10 a.m. and 7 p.m., Wednesday 7 p.m., and youth group was on Thursday nights. I was also a member of my high school's Christian club and had very serious thoughts about becoming a missionary. I've mentioned that already. Over time, though, I began noticing interesting and disturbing patterns of behavior emerging. I started to perceive the puppet's strings, and out of pure curiosity began asking the wrong sorts of questions. In a fundamentalist church, such impertinence is strongly discouraged. Why were certain topics of discussion taboo? Why were the church leaders so insistent that I only have Christian friends? Why was study about the Bible, as opposed to studying the texts themselves, so frowned upon? How was Christianity actually different from any other cult when there are so many other similarities? The answers I found, or didn't find, as the case may be, proved to be very telling. The scathing reactions I received to my inquiries were a shock, and those planted the first real seeds of doubt. I quickly realized that they could not or would not provide what I was seeking. After moving to Arkansas briefly in 1980, I chose not to renew my association with my church when I returned to Florida. I spent several years in my early 20s still considering myself a Christian, although I only went to church to take my grandmother to hers. She was a Presbyterian. Over time, I came to notice a lot of the same control systems there in my grandmother's church. Was this simply endemic to Christianity? This piqued my interest, and I began to dig and dig and dig. I read the Bible and other religious works. I also read extensively in biblical history, the physical sciences, especially evolution, and the debate surrounding creation evolution. All of those things are important in understanding modern Christianity. So by my mid-20s, I had renounced the literalist and fundamentalist beliefs forever, as each fundamentalist tenet in turn proved itself ridiculously unfeasible. From the creation story to Noah's Ark to the contradictions of Jesus, each thread I unraveled made the comforting sweater of my religion look more and more threadbare and inadequate. I still believed in a supreme power, but was no longer comfortable with the label of Christian. Perhaps uncomfortably deist would be an accurate description, but the digging didn't stop there. Nowadays, I have no pretensions to have any belief in gods. The evidence of such simply isn't there. The digging, though, is always ongoing. But I look at the array of puzzle pieces in front of me assembled over many years, over many times in my life, and it just doesn't look too good for God. Comments? Questions? Let me know. So obviously the article that I just read is the account of my own personal experience with evangelical Christianity. But that's not where my skepticism ends. It was very specific to that conversation because my friend had actually provided me with 5 questions to answer. And maybe I will get around to answering them in the podcast, or at least reading out the answers that I did. I think that my friend Nick was trying to ascertain whether or not I was convertible. Like, could you take my top off or something? No. That's just a bad joke, guys. Now, to see if it was possible that I would be reconverted back to Christianity. Well, the answer to that is no. You can try all you like. You know, that's fine with me. But having been there and gone down that path before, I don't see myself going down that path again. And likewise for other irrational beliefs. And there's just a ton of these things out there. There's everything from, you know, from tarot cards to psychics to UFO abductions to, you know, weeping icons. And almost all this stuff can easily be disproven. And that's one of the reasons I know I mentioned before James Randi, who he's a debunker. And he actually disproves people who, or he disproves the claims of psychic phenomenon and so forth. And if you think that, you know, think that you actually have psychic powers, well, you know, maybe you should reconsider. Yeah, I've never met anybody who has given me any reason for thinking that they might have a paranormal ability. And I've known plenty of people who think they do. But, you know, how is the UFO abduction thing any different from these medieval saints who claim to have visions of the Virgin Mary giving them a tour of heaven? It's really kind of the same thing as far as I'm concerned. And I think it's very common to people in general. It's just, it's updated with the times. It used to be saints and angels and supernatural beings, you know, Jesus or the devil. And nowadays it's aliens, UFOs, the Greys. What is the government keeping from you? And with that thought, it's time to wrap up the show. So, thanks for listening, and I hope to see you next time. From Tom Harris at Tom Harris USA, good night, and talk to you soon.